morning.
Good morning.
Not having that, what's it called, bumper? Makes it a little awkward when you come up here and it's real quiet. But anyway, I'm so glad that you are here with us this morning. I'm glad to be here. For the past several weeks, we have been learning about the temptations that Jesus faced throughout his life and ministry and how we, like him, face them too. But along the way, there's always been this foreshadowing of the cross. It was on the forefront of Jesus' heart and mind. And you know, he talked about it and he knew it was coming, but there were still even times, as we've learned, that it looked like he may not want to have to go there. Last week, we learned about how after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, how Caiaphas, the high priest, he set in plan this motion to get rid of Jesus and to save the nation. But at the very end of that passage, we see where the people are starting to prepare for the Passover, and they're beginning to head to Jerusalem. After the resurrection, we see Jesus at the home of Lazarus, and he's having this meal, and there Mary, Lazarus' sister, anoints him with perfume. And this is sort of out of character for several reasons, one being that the perfume was very expensive. Some would have said that it would have cost a year's worth of wages. Another being that Mary used her hair, her head was uncovered, which was a complete no-no in this day and time. And third, that she anointed his feet and not his head, which was customary then. But we see how Jesus tells Judas, who was giving her a hard time in this moment, to leave her alone, that she was preparing him for the day of his burial. And as we get closer to the Passover, the crowds are starting to grow, and Jesus is making his way into Jerusalem. And there we see the people run inside, grab these palms, come outside saying, "Hosanna," just like the sweet little kids that were through here this morning, waving their palms and singing. This is a part of the story that we hear and see every year. But today, we come to this place in John where Jesus knows that it is time. We find ourselves in John 13 where it starts, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the very end." Here we are with Jesus and his disciples in the upper room. They're about to have what we know as the Last Supper. And Jesus is here in this room with those who are the closest to him, with those that he has been doing life with, those that he has called, those that he loves, and even those who will betray and deny him. But the scripture says that he loved them until the very end. Now think about this for a minute. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes. You have just shown your power and authority unlike any other time in history. You raised a man from the dead. Everybody is talking about who you are and what you are capable of. You've left your friend's house, whom they love you. They have anointed you and prepared you for your death. The word is continuing to spread about who you are and what you've done. Then you ride into town on a donkey, and people are literally lining the streets just to see you. And now, you are tucked away in this house with your disciples, with people who have literally given up their lives and their livelihoods to follow you. I mean, a person could get a pretty big head. You know, you could be really feeling yourself right about now. I mean, granted, you do know you're about to die, but still, you should be proud. You should want to sit in the moment, soak it all in, be like, "Yeah, maybe I am a pretty big deal." After all that Jesus has been through, one would think that in his final days that he would feel this way, wouldn't we? Maybe we want to gloat a little bit, take a little time for ourselves, get in a little self-care. We are human. He's human. He is about to die. But what does he do? It says that he stands up from the table. He takes off his outer clothing. He takes a towel and he wraps it around his waist. after that, he takes the water and he pours it into the basin. And then it says he goes over and he bends down and he washes his disciples' feet. Okay. It was very dramatic. But I wasn't even done. And then he dries their feet with the towel that was wrapped around his waist. Jesus knows. He knows that he is about to die. If I were to ask you how you would spend your last night, what would you say? How would you spend it? Would you go out and eat your favorite meal? Maybe go visit your favorite spot one last time? Spend it with those that you love? Maybe even binge watch a little Netflix? But on his last night, Jesus chose to love the people around him by serving them. And not only did he serve them, and this isn't like a waiter bringing somebody a drink, no. This act of removing his outer garments, of stooping down to wash their feet, it is about so much more. It is an act of humility that I'm not even sure we can wrap our minds around. In these days and times, foot washing was common. You know, the disciples, it wasn't as if they weren't used to seeing people having their feet washed, but they were used to slaves and servants being the ones that did it. You know, there weren't paved roads back in the day, roads like we're used to seeing. Everybody wore sandals. And so when they were traveling, their feet were dirty. They were dusty. And it was seen as an act of hospitality for the host to have someone set up to wash your feet for the guests when they arrived. However, it was never someone in a position of power or authority, never an important person. And so when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, Peter even says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." This society, about like ours today in this respect, they celebrated honor and they feared shame. Status was so very important. So when Jesus bent down to wash his disciples' feet, he overturned his position of status, and he did so willingly. Every year on Maundy Thursday, the Pope does this very same thing. A man who is in a position of authority, of power, he stoops down to wash the feet of prisoners. And this is what he tells them. He says, "I am a sinner like you. But I represent Jesus today. I am his ambassador. When I kneel before each of you, think, Jesus took a risk on this man, a sinner, to come to me and to tell me that he loves me. This is service. This is Jesus. He never abandons us. He never tires of forgiving us. And he loves us so much." On his last night with the disciples, this is what Jesus chose to do. A few years ago, here at Broadway, over at Melrose, at our Maundy Thursday service, we had an element of foot washing. And so folks could come, and they would have a foot washed by a member of the staff. Last year, some of us on staff, we held a service at Hotel Inc. on Maundy, or sometimes we call it Holy Thursday, where we offered our friends there the opportunity to have their feet washed. Personally, I was actually able to wash feet in both of these settings. And let me tell you, it's a very humbling experience and place to be in. As someone who was a nurse and is a mom, you know, sometimes we get in the habit of just going through the motions. You know, you're wiping and cleaning and washing and drying, and you don't see the moment as sacred or holy. It's just one more task that has to be done in the day, one more thing to check off. But washing someone's feet in these settings is unlike anything I have ever experienced. Yes, it was awkward, and yes, it was scary and a little intimidating, to be honest. But to look someone in their eyes and then proceed to wash their feet is a moment to not take for granted. And it isn't this way just for the person who's washing the feet. To be on the receiving end is just as powerful and awkward and scary. But I think that this is one of those times where we see that little glimpse of God reminding us of this amazing grace that he offers and how big his love for us really is. And then, every year, the confirmands, the kids who have just gone through confirmation, they have a send-off service in this very room. And a part of that service is a foot washing. The kids have spent 6 weeks learning about the story of God and seeing his work of redemption. They're preparing to go on mission the following morning, but before they leave, their leaders wash their feet. This principle is that the leaders are to serve the kids and teach them to go out and to serve others, just as Jesus will tell us from the next part in our passage today. It says that after he finished washing the disciples' feet, he puts his clothing back on and returns to his place at the table. And he asked them, he says, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should go out and do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. This is the clash of kingdoms. In our world today, where we are told to strive to be on top, to be the people in positions of authority and of power, and to climb the ladder of success, to be the leaders, when we're here, it often leaves others here. The people that are doing our bidding, that are doing our grunt work, that are doing the hard work, that are serving us. But Jesus tells us in this passage today, hey, actually, the leaders, the people on top, the people in positions of power, they should be the ones who are setting an example for the people that they lead. They can do this by serving their own people, by stooping down for their people, by being willing to sacrifice their status or their position for their people. In the book of John, we see this idea of stooping down three different ways. From the beginning of John with the incarnation, when the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth, when God gave us his Son. We see this today when Jesus literally stoops down to serve the disciples, to wash their feet, to tell and show them, I have done this for you so that you can go out and do it for others. I have loved and served you so that you can go out and love and serve your neighbors. And we will see it again in the coming week when Jesus stoops as he is hanging from the cross, when he has given his life so that we may have eternal life and the gift of the Spirit, a Spirit that he tells us later in John, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I do not give to you as the world gives to you. He knows that what he has taught is different, that the world won't like it or maybe even agree with it. But he knows that that is what he is called to do. That is what he has stooped down to show his disciples and to us, that we are not people that are called to be of this world, but of his kingdom. Today is Palm Sunday. The next time that we enter this room, we will be celebrating the resurrection. But we can't forget. We can't forget all that is happening from today till when we come back next week. As Jesus told the disciples, he was leaving so that we would have his Spirit to remind us, to lead us, and to convict us. So as we enter into Holy Week, let us be open to that very Spirit. Maybe it's leading us to take time to remember and reflect on the last days and moments of Jesus' life, on his journey to the cross, and how even on the cross, he still modeled for us how to love God and love our neighbor. Maybe throughout Lent, you haven't fasted one time, and that's okay. But maybe this week, you feel the need to fast so that you can truly feel the gravity and the grief of the cross, but the joy of the resurrection. And maybe you feel the need to stoop down for someone that you lead or you love or your neighbor. Make some time to be watchful and aware of the people and the world that is happening around you. Yes, you may not be able to literally wash someone's feet, but small acts of kindness can go a really long way. Maybe you mow your neighbor's yard or you write someone an encouraging note. Maybe you take time to really be with the people that you're closest to, those that you love dearly, but who get the scraps most of the time. Maybe you choose to skip your Starbucks or your Spencer's and you pack your lunch once with the intentionality that you are going to use that money to come back next week and give to our Matthew 25 fund where you can show up for the people in our community. Every single day, we have so many opportunities to participate in the kingdom, to stoop down, to show someone else the love of God, to do for someone else as our Father has done for us, to live in a way that points people to him, to be a people of faith, to be okay with being different. Jesus modeled for us how to be a humble servant from the very beginning until the very end, and he calls us to do the same. Let us pray. God, we're thankful for all the ways that you love us, that you remind us, that you show us. And today, Lord, we are reminded that we have this gift of the Spirit to nudge us, to lead us, to convict us. And so, God, I just ask that you help us to remember that, to be open to that, to receive that. And that when we feel it, Lord, that we will serve others, we will love others as you have loved and served us. We love you, and we're grateful for all that you've done for us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.